It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Violet Brown driving.
Now it's time to talk Celtics.
Celtics come roaring out of the gate.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show with Gasper and Murray. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Game on lock for sure.
And the Celtics will come from behind in the fourth quarter in the home opener. And appropriately enough, the ball in the hands of Kemba Walker as the clock hits triple zeros. And the Celtics have their first win of the year. The final score, Boston 112, Toronto 106.
I thought we played hard on Wednesday. We just made a lot of mistakes. But this is early in the year. We're not doing jumping jacks when we win. And we're not going to put our head in our hands when we lose. We're just going to move forward.
Man, it was so fun. I had a blast out there, and you know, these guys, they just make the right plays, you know, so unselfish, just fun to be around, so I want to be a part of it.
He's the anti-Kyrie, one of Mike's in his face. That's Kemba Walker. Prior to that, you were for Brad Stevens. After the Celtics beat the defending champion Toronto Raptors at home last night, 112-106 was the final at TD Garden. Good night for the Seas. Good bounce back win for them after they have the dud of an opener in Philadelphia against the 76ers on Thursday night. Welcome into the second Sports Hub Celtics show of the year. Gasper joining for the first. We tipped this off last week. You want to join us at any point, 617-779-0985. The next hour, all Celtics all the time. For the first three quarters, it felt like, okay, this was more of a game than I expected it to be. And maybe that's just more on me and thinking that the Raptors are just going to be more of a middler this year and kind of an also-ran, seeing as they lost Kawhi Leonard. But boy, just more than anything else, just quickly on the Raptors, Pascal Siakam is the real deal. Like, he's just straight-up nasty. And at one point in the game, hit five straight threes, yeah. Like as smooth can be. They didn't really have an answer for him defensively. And I think that's going to be an issue for most bigs for the Celtics throughout the year. But he's just great, and maybe I've underrated that team. But the first three quarters, it's like, oh, boy, this is not trending the right way. But at least on the offensive glass, Celtics completely awesome last night, and they pull away in the fourth quarter. Kemba Walker ended up having a pretty decent game. I thought Jaylen Brown was the best player on the floor.
Yeah.
And overall, a decent night, and I think it soothed some of the concerns after the opening night in Philadelphia.
No, I totally agree. I think, you know, still a work in progress, but you got some glimpses of what the Celtics could be with Brown, Kemba Walker, Tatum, Gordon Hayward. Also, Grant Williams being on the court there at the end, you know, playing the five. I mean, he's one of those guys. He's kind of like, I don't want to put him in Marcus Smart's class yet, but he is what they need, which is a guy who can impact the game without necessarily scoring. I thought he set some great screens. He had a great hoop on the pick and roll late from Kemba that gave them the lead. They didn't trail after that. You know, Toronto did tie and Hayward hit a three, but they didn't trail after that play. And then, you know, he got Kemba his first basket on a great pass on a backdoor cut by Walker. Great pass from Grant Williams. So they have some good pieces there. I think the offensive efficiency is still a work in progress. It still feels a little bit too much like, my turn, your turn, my turn, your turn, as opposed to cohesive offensive basketball. But I think these guys like each other, and I think they like playing with each other.
Yeah, if you wouldn't mind sharing what you, because you were there last night in the locker room afterwards. Yeah. You said it just during a commercial break during the first hour that it is a completely different feel
completely
in that locker room from last year.
Different vibe. It's just a lot lighter. I think there's more levity in there. I think you had some guys who were either intense or just inherently gloomy. You know, Kyrie, inherently gloomy. Marcus Morris, really intense dude. And it just seems like it's a lot. There's a lot more levity. I think guys are enjoying themselves. And you have like Enes Kanter and Taco Fall sort of, you know, holding court and entertaining people. And It just seemed to me, I'm not around the team all the time, but I mean, the difference was noticeable. Even a guy like Jason Tatum just seemed to be just kind of doing his thing, you know, walking around. It just seemed like everybody had this weight lifted off their shoulders.
Yeah, but look, likability can only take you so far, but I think that can help. I mean, that really became such a detriment to even wanting to tune in to watch them, or if you wanted to, like, you know, bring someone or go to the game. Like, did you really want to spend money on that team towards the end when you knew behind the scenes, like, how they were acting, how Kyrie was carrying himself? Like, it's like, ugh, it just wasn't even worth your time or your money towards the end. So, you know, I'm for that. Like, I don't think they have a very high ceiling. And just, you know, I want your overall thoughts on,
sure,
you know, now that we're just two games in, what you think this team's ceiling is this year. Can they come out of the East? Are they the third best team? Are they better than Philadelphia? I think they might surprise, you know, like, I think there's a lot of ifs. It's if Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum can make the leap that we thought that they probably would last year. Can Gordon Hayward come back to where he was in Utah? And I like how he looked last night more than, I mean, the Philadelphia game more than last night. I mean, he is at least attacking the rim. It looks like physically he's back and he's getting there mentally. But I think a lot of it, whether or not the Celtics can come out of the East this year, Chris, it's a lot of ifs and buts, you know? So that's why I still have Milwaukee, Philadelphia, bit of a drop than the Celtics. But I hope I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think after Milwaukee and in Philadelphia, it's really sort of a jumble of teams and who will emerge. I don't think there's a huge difference between, say, the Celtics, the Raptors, the Nets, and don't forget about the Pacers, who brought in Malcolm Brogdon and will get Oladipo back. I mean, Oladipo's...
Do we know when, though? Like,
it's probably not until 2020. Like, I know he's back to 5-on-5.
Yeah, practicing. They got some pretty promising reports on Oladipo, but they'd be smart to wait it out.
Yeah, I mean, I was reading the Indy Star the other day, and again, like, I think this week he was back to 5-on-5 in practice, but they're not expecting him back until 2020, like January.
Yeah, and so, Sean Silver, where are you with this team? I know, like, you know, you're ride or die with the Celtics no matter what, but even they rubbed you the wrong way towards the end of last year. What have you seen so far from the first couple of games? What were your expectations going into the season in terms of where they would be in the East?
Yeah, kind of what Chris alluded to, what you both have alluded to in the, you know, the conversation, that instead of begrudgingly turning on the game to watch, it was kind of, there was an excitement. Like, I was a little bit late getting home from being out, and it was just like, all right, gotta get in, gotta get the TV on, let's get this thing going here. And then I was pleased with what I saw. Again, just, you know, the on-court energy probably stems a lot from the off-court energy. I think we're getting an idea of how they're going to, you know, from last night, how they're going to win games against top-tier teams. It's going to be their defensive effort, I think, that really dictates it. You didn't see it as much against Philadelphia, even though Philadelphia shot horribly. But, you know, cutting off drives to the rim, that is going to help them just from a rebounding perspective. And they won the rebounding battle last night against Toronto after getting smoked against Philly. And, yeah, figuring out that offensive identity. The Brad system is that ball pinging around the perimeter. You kind of see it ping, ping, and then it gets into somebody's hands and they're comfortable with it. And, you know, that's fine because the offensive weapons that they have, they can each do something different with it. And Gordon Hayward has shown, I think, to me that, you know, he's back. He spent game one driving to the hoop.
You think he's all the way back?
He's close.
I thought he was the brightest spot in the first game in Philadelphia.
He was going to the rack, and then in game two, he was shooting the three ball well. I mean, those were the two things last year that people held against him. He couldn't hit open shots, and he couldn't drive. So what, you know, what was he really to you last year? So I'm just, I don't know. I mean, maybe this is just way too much of those Halloween-themed Sour Patch Kids that were out in the hallway there.
But riding the sugar high of the Celtics.
Did you really sleep here again, Sean?
No. No, no. I had a nice, comfortable night's sleep coming off that win. I went to bed early, turned the TV off, went to bed early. Great.
Yeah, I think even in like that first game, on both sides, like the product for both teams, the Sixers and the Celtics on opening night, I was like, oh, this is just, there was a lot that just drove me crazy. It was like, you know, that third quarter was brutal. No one could hit a shot. You have the coaches challenge. You have another one last night. Like, that thing I already hate.
I hate the coaches challenge.
Like, replay in sports in general, you're just trying to make me hate sports. But this thing, this coaches challenge in the NBA, like, what are you doing? And there was a sequence in Thursday night on the opener where it was coaches challenged by Brett Brown and what was a clear trip on Kemba Walker. I don't know how you didn't miss that, but he's Brett Brown. He's a dummy. Followed by the refs looking at the screen for about what felt like 20 minutes as to whether or not Jaylen Brown had a technical foul on Joel Embiid with the elbow. It felt like 40 minutes of my life I'll never get back. And that That's just the beginning. We're only two games in, and we're already seeing this. I hate it. But Sean, overall, like, they already, you know, they're already way more likable. And that's all I'm asking for. Like, because, again, from, like, January on, it's like, I kind of hate this team. And we have to do the Sports Up Celtics show. I got to watch them. I want to be interested. I have to do it for my job. But, like, I kind of hate them. And then you have the no-show in the postseason in that second round after the one win against Milwaukee. It was just gross. So, if nothing else, I know, again, likability can only take you so far. But, as I've said for a while, the one thing you can hang your hat on this year's Celtics team, you can tune in on a random Wednesday in January, and you'll like what you see.
Yeah, I think, you know, look, are they more likable? I'm probably one of the few people who misses. I just miss the artistry of Kyrie, the basketball player. I do miss that. But what I'll say about this team is I think in some ways, yes, they're more likable. There's no question about it. But let's not sell them short. I think they have some really good potential here.
Yeah.
If they can put the pieces together. They're still figuring it out. I mean, even when Kemba got going with the 11 points in the fourth quarter, and Brad talked about this a little bit last night, you know, they basically were running stuff that they had run in Charlotte for him. And it was a lot of sort of double high pick and roll and letting him choose. And that's great. But it wasn't what Sean's talking about, the ball going ping, ping, ping. They're not all the way there from an offensive efficiency standpoint. I think they can get there. I think this team actually has a pretty high ceiling. I just am not sure they'll reach it this year.
Yeah, and the way the ball movement was better last night, thank God, because that was the one thing that made me crazy on Thursday. It was like, so you look at that first unit, it was two assists each and none for Brown because he fouled out so quickly. But like that, like that's not Brad Stevens' offense. That made me nuts. Steve in Medford on Jaylen Brown, though, who I think might have been the best player on the floor last night. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
Good, what's up?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Jaylen Brown and his contract extension. So, obviously, he signed the four-year and $150 million deal. And my initial reaction was I thought it was a bit overpay. I would have preferred if he got something closer to what Buddy Hield got. I think Buddy Hield got 4 years, $90 million.
Mm-hmm.
Point being, I wanted to see, what do you guys think this means for Tatum now? Because Tatum's obviously up next year. And does this mean that he'll get no less than the five-year, $170 million max that Ben Simmons got?
Thanks for the call, Steve. Chris?
I mean, I feel like Tatum has to get the max, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this might be a better question for Chris Forsberg when we have him on, but I feel like Tatum has to get the max, because if the Celtics don't give him, you know, the max he can get here, then I think when he gets out on the market, he'll get the four-year max. So when I look at that, I do think this sets it up. I think big picture, taking the money out of it and the popsicle headache that NBA salary cap management can be for me, I look at it and say that they are basically saying, we're going to move forward with these two guys as being two of the cornerstones of the team. And if they develop and we don't feel like that's good enough to win a championship, but they develop and they're pretty good, then we might be able to flip them for, say, Karl Anthony Towns or whatever. By the way, I mean, Karl Anthony Towns is off to an insane start to the year in Minnesota, the way he's playing. It's like he's been unleashed. But if you have these guys, it reminds me a little of the Avery Bradley deal, which I hated at the time and then came to see the wisdom of. If Jaylen Brown develops and becomes a borderline all-star player, this deal is a bargain.
617-779-0985, the phone line if you want to get on with us here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. We'll get to your calls, but as you just mentioned, or Chris just mentioned, Chris Forsberg, who covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston, we're going to talk to him next here on 98.5 Sports Hub.
This is the Sports Hub Celtics Show. This is Jaylen Brown, the home of the Boston Celtics basketball, 98.5 the Sports Hub. The excitement is building for another banner.
Wrap for three, got it.
The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 the Sports Hub.
You know, my teammates, man, they were incredible. You know, just the confidence they had in me. That's what I needed to, the things that they said to me are the things that I needed to hear. They see my face, you know, kind of down at times. So they just kept encouraging me. So like I keep saying, man, I just appreciate those guys so much.
Appreciating his teammates. Who is this guy? How refreshing. Kemba Walker, the anti-Kyrie, after last night's win over Toronto. Sports Hub Celtics Show, Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, 98.5 of Sports Hub. And joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline to talk about Kemba's night and talk some Celtics. He covers them for NBC Sports Boston. Good afternoon to Chris Forsberg. Hello, Forsby.
What's going on?
Oh, not too much. So after a tough start in Philadelphia, and that's being kind because he finished with 12 points and really couldn't even hit, like, you know, easy bunny layups. I wanted to chalk that up to, you know, first night jitters, first night with the new team jitters, and it really did feel like that considering he scored seven straight against the Raptors last night in crunch time, and he sounded like he had, that was a guy that had a monkey off his back after last night's game. Is that how you felt talking to him after the win over the Raptors?
Yeah, I do think Philly's length bothered him a little bit. Like, he hit both of the wide open shots he had in that game, but it felt like everything else was off the mark. And, you know, they're tough. Like, they're going to be one of the best defensive teams in the league. And I do think there was a bit of maybe a little bit of jitters there. And, you know, but I think he missed his first five shots last night too, including like a real gimme layup on a, I think, a putback attempt or whatever. And, you know, he just didn't have it for the first 60 minutes of his Celtics career, but it was neat to see him sort of crank it up there in the fourth quarter. And especially because, like, one of the things that I've worried about in the transition from Kyrie to Kemba is, you know, the Celtics have been blessed with really, really good fourth quarter crunch time guys for the past few years between Isaiah and Kyrie. And Kemba can score a lot, but I guess from watching from afar, I didn't know what his ability to take over in a fourth quarter necessarily was. And so we got in a glimpse. It was that, you know, early part of the fourth where he really kind of willed them back into that game, and then was still able to be deferential and let the other guys do their things late in the game as well.
What did you make of sort of the lineup late there with, you know, the wings and Kemba and Grant Williams? Was that just sort of a by necessity thing, or is that something that Brad Stevens sort of stumbled upon here, Forsby?
Well, I think it's by necessity because without Cantor and obviously Tice being dinged up, you're sort of left to have to go small. But I think we all kind of figured they'd get to this point eventually. And I think a lot of us thought maybe they go that super small lineup with Smart in there that they've toyed with. And Brad, you know, mentioned like last night that essentially with Grant Williams out there, you're 6'8" and under lineup. There's times you can get away with that. And I think there'll be times when you're playing bigger teams that you can't, but, we saw the value of having that small ball lineup. You can run, make things happen in transition. If Jaylen Brown is going to be making bullseye bounce passes from one side of the court to the other, you can probably get away with these sort of things. So, listen, Grant Williams still has some. The hype train is going to be out of control based on one night, but you can see he's got this crazy good basketball IQ. He takes fouls, the offensive fouls, you know, there's a lot to like. And it would not be a surprise if whether he's the five or, you know, whatever other way that Brad gets creative, that you get them out there, because there's just not a lot of, I guess, confidence in the big men right now, even when you're healthy, and they've got to sort of figure out how to be different and get their best players on the floor.
And I'll just say quickly that lineup was +7, which was the best of any of their five-man lineups last night, which that sort of caught me by surprise. But that lineup with Grant Williams at center was +7 for the night.
The other thing I would say is I don't know if you can start games that way. And, you know, maybe you can. Like, maybe the NBA has just changed so much that you can just roll it out there with five guys under 6'8" and just deal with it. Like, okay, you can't get away with it against Philly when you got to go up against Allen and Embiid. But, you know, even with Toronto's size and Siakam and, you know, Ibaka and Gasol, like, I was surprised that it worked as well as it did. So that's an encouraging sign. I do want to see more of Robert Williams. They've sort of used him, obviously, in that reserve role. I think he's played good minutes. He benefited from not being out there when Embiid was out there in Philly. But I think Robert Williams, for as uneven a preseason as he had and sort of over-anxious preseason, he does a lot of good things. I just want to see him out there. He gives you the passing that you lost with Al and obviously the freak athleticism. I'm kind of wondering if Tice isn't able to go tonight, maybe we see some extended Robert Williams from the Celtics.
Talking to Chris Forsberg, covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston, joins us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. So I want to go back to a question we got from a call we took earlier, Chris, in regard to Jaylen Brown's contract. What will Jason Tatum end up getting? Is he going to end up getting a max deal, you think? And will it be here?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I can't imagine there's any way that listen, the part of the reason they locked in Jaylen as early as they did is that they're just not going to have cap space for the foreseeable future. And so why even risk getting to next summer, having some, whether, you know, Jaylen has a good year or not, having some bad feelings about not getting a deal done. If you're truly committed to a player, just, you know, I know it hasn't been their philosophy always, and they've always preferred flexibility, but there just wasn't a lot of path for them to sort of have any room, and the free agent class next year was obviously underwhelming. So I just think they saw a situation where it made sense to extend, and, you know, people obviously were not thrilled about the number, but and when he goes out and commits four fouls in 14 minutes in game one, it certainly exacerbated that. But, you know, like, last night was a perfect glimpse of what he can be, and it wasn't just the points. The scoring was nice, but I thought, you know, his playmaking has just improved. His ball handling has improved. He's clearly trying to impact games in different ways. And for Tatum now, like, it's just a slam dunk in my mind. I crunched it up. I think it's 5 years, $183 million, something like that. And again, that sounds like a ton of money, but you can see it with Tatum now as he goes to the basket. Like, listen, he's got to get better at drawing contact and finishing through contact. But if he just plays the way he has in the first two games, he'll like stumble into being a 25 point per game scorer. He'll be an all-star. You know, to me, it's a no-brainer. And yeah, you're committing to this core and kind of seeing what they become. But I don't know what necessarily the other path would be. So I think that's their best route forward.
Chris, before we let you, are you in New York for tonight's game?
No, thank God, no.
Oh, and you mentioned Daniel Tice, who went down with the ankle last night. Do you expect him back tonight, or?
I don't know. They obviously finished out the game last night, but we've seen that often where a guy will sort of gut it out. I mean, it happened with Cantor the other night, and then Cantor limped out of the locker room, and it was pretty clear that he wasn't going to play. Tice had a little sleeve over it and didn't sound overly worked up about it, but, you know, it's always interesting to see how those things respond the day after. You know, again, I go back to it. Like, I kind of want to get a glimpse at Robert Williams. I'd actually like to see Vincent Poirier out there a little bit, and I don't know what Brad's got against French people right now, but if he could get him out there and at least get us a glimpse of what he can do, that would be nice. So
yeah, I just want to hear you say his name again.
Vincent. Brad, it was funny because Brad tried to say it in a press conference and messed it up, and Mike Zarin was giving him a whole bunch of grief about it. And so, we're trying to get these right. But like, listen, these are the things. Like, I think they have intriguing young big men. We know what Cantor is. We know kind of what Tice is, and I just want to see the full spectrum and sort of, you know, if this is the information gathering portion of the season, as Brad likes to call it. Well, let's see it. Let's trot these guys out. Let's see what you got. And figure out your best rotation. Then listen, it might just end up being that you go small all the time, but let's see what these guys got and figure out what the best lineups are for this team.
All right, the best hair in the business, Celtics reporter for NBC Sports Boston, Chris Forsberg. Follow him on Twitter if you're not already, at Chris Forsberg _. Thanks for taking the time, Chris.
Thanks, y'all.
Chris comes to us via the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. All right, your calls on the Celtics. Got a couple open lines. You want to join us, 617-779-0985. We'll get to those right after the Sports Hub headlines here with Sean Silver.
Real deal. It's an hour dedicated to your Celtics. Chris Gasper, Jim Murray, the Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He told me I was good, you know what I mean? Brad had an aneurysm. And Kimba's just like, you good, bro, just keep playing. So definitely got to make sure we take good shots. I'm glad we came out with the win. We got to be more conscious of taking the right shots in the right moments, and that probably wasn't the best.
I ain't got to apologize. I mean, he's not a bad guy. He works hard. He may be. You know, I was hot. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he's a basketball player, and he took a great shot. He just missed, and, you know, I didn't want him to apologize. You know, I wanted to keep my teammate, you know, confident, and, you know, we came out and won, and he hit a big shot, so it happens. You know, it just flowed the game.
Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 Sports Hub. Jim Murray, Chris Gasper, and you, 617-779-0985. So it's Jalen Brown and Kemba Walker after last night's win over the Raptors on what I thought was the best sequence of the night. If you didn't see it, here's the quick recap. Because it was just refreshing to hear those two talk like that and what happened, because it would have been the complete opposite last year with Kyrie here. So Celtics down 7 to Toronto, fourth quarter. Kemba Walker has a pull-up jumper. 30 seconds later, there's a Raptors turnover. Kemba Walker hits a three-pointer, cuts it to 2. 20 seconds later, Pascal Siakam misses a shot. Jaylen Brown pulls up, and he misses a shot from like 18 feet. Everyone that was watching the game, everyone in the building, you know, it's like, this is, what are you doing? It was like, why are you making that shot, Jaylen? Brad Stevens, as you hear Brown say, was having an aneurysm. Like, he was, you know, rightfully pissed off. So Norm Powell draws a foul, goes to the line to stop what was going on with Kemba Walker, because, you know, he finally heats up at that point in the game. Jaylen Brown looks at Kemba Walker to give him the old my bad. And Walker didn't want to hear it. You heard what he said after the game. He didn't have to apologize to me. He's not a bad guy. He works hard. He took a great shot. He just missed. I didn't want him to apologize. I wanted him to be confident. That there, and those two talking about it after the game, Chris, that is proof of just how different things are in regard to team chemistry. Like, this is, and that's a positive. Like, okay, that doesn't mean that that's going to translate into wins and a championship season. But in terms of likability, like, that matters to me. I think that matters to a lot of Celtics fans after what you had to deal with the complete opposite last year with guys like Kyrie and, you know, pointing fingers in the blame game.
You're right. And I think that's absolutely the right way to go about it from a leadership standpoint from Kemba. Again, I think he's still feeling his way through this process after spending his entire career in Charlotte. But yeah, that's the way you lead young guys and encourage young guys. You know, sometimes the young guys, they, you know, it's like kids, right? They need to test their boundaries. Jaylen Brown was the Celtics' best player last night, yep, hands down. All right. And for me, it wasn't even, there's a level of game awareness you have to have. At that point, Kemba has the hot hand, and that's where they should go. And Brad said that, you know, playfully sort of afterwards. But for me, the bigger issue wasn't so much that Jaylen did what he did. It was more the idea, I just didn't like that shot. It was 4 seconds into the shot clock. Like, maybe we can get a better shot. Maybe it's your shot. Maybe it's Kemba's shot. And I think that's sort of going to be the feeling out process. And I remember that sequence. And I remember sort of, I think that as the season goes on, Jaylen Brown will learn that in that situation, you give Kemba the ball. And I think Kemba, even though he was very conciliatory last night, and rightfully so, as he gets more comfortable, will demand the ball in that situation. And if I remember correctly, B-Rob can correct me on this one too, it was kind of a weird situation where Hayward pulled down that rebound, and both Walker and Brown were like sort of next to each other on the right wing with like hands out. And you could tell Hayward was kind of like, which guy? And he gave it to Jaylen. You know, and I think they'll figure that out from a spacing standpoint, from a hierarchy standpoint. And the fact that everybody could laugh about it after the game, I think, was a really good sign.
Yeah, we have Brian Robb, B-Robb, Boston Sports Journal, covers the Celtics for them, bostonsportsjournal.com, producing the show again, second straight Saturday. What did you see last night? What have you made of the first couple of games, B-Robb?
Yeah, I think you guys have nailed everything pretty well to this point. I'll just add on Jaylen. Played 38 minutes last night as well, which is, as you know, easily, obviously, the season-high team lead. Guess how many times he did that last year, guys?
Zero.
Twice.
Okay. Wow.
And again, 25 points last night. Did that just twice last year in 82 games. So that just kind of shows you, you know, he was talking after the game, this is a totally different team, you know, spacing, opportunity, et cetera. And, you know, to see this early after that deal was just given to him, I think, you know, Danny Ainge probably slept a little better last night, thinking about the long term.
And talking with Chris Forsberg in the prior segment of what they're going to do with the five. Now, you know, Tice is questionable tonight as they get the second of the back-to-back against New York. Like, okay, Cantor's out too, but do you want to see more Robert Williams? Because I thought he would look pretty good in these first couple of games.
He's definitely showing something. I mean, like, you can see what they're excited about the long term. He has to be more disciplined. Like, there's the miscommunications on the pick and roll, just being in the right spot. Like, Brad will just not stand for that, and that's why that's what got him pilled, I feel like, in the second half there for Grant Williams in the fourth quarter. But the progress is there offensively. He's active on the glass, and he, you know, between him and Grant Williams right now, I'd be happy to see both those guys get most of the minutes at center tonight against a smaller Knicks team.
Let's go to Jordan in Florida on Jaylen Brown, who we were just discussing. Hey, Jordan.
Hey, who do you guys think should be the number one option on offense? Because I'm starting to think it should be Jaylen Brown, because I think he's consistent and I think his shooting continues to get better. And I think Jason Tatum's shot selection has not been great. I just think 8 for 22 is just not efficient enough.
Yeah, Tatum, I think, has been, if you don't know, the disappointment might be too much.
He looks the same as last year.
Yeah.
It's the exact same guy.
Yeah, that's annoying.
For better and worse.
Yeah, I don't know who should be the primary scoring
Kemba
option.
Yeah. I don't even think this is a question. I mean, it's great to have Jaylen Brown. I think really the question that he's trying to ask is who's on the hierarchy, how does it go? Is it Kemba, Hayward, Tatum, Brown? Is it Kemba, Brown, Hayward, Tatum? What is it? But I think they'll figure that out on a night-to-night basis, and I'm not worried about it. But I do think, look, I like Kemba's attitude. I like his leadership style, and I think he exhibited it last night, again, with the whole, like, not a big deal with Jaylen Brown thing. That's all good. But at some point here, he is going to have to sort of take the reins, because it should not be a question as to who the number one option. And if we're having this discussion later on in the year, who's the number one option, I think that's a problem for the Celtics.
Andy in Easton, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show. Hey, Andy.
Hey, guys. Great show. I don't know why people are flinching at Brown getting that kind of money for what he's getting paid now, and not flinching where Tatum is going to get paid 5 years, 186. I mean, that's just ridiculous. To me, Brown is the better player.
Well, regardless, Andy, what it comes down to is the market dictates the value in the league. I didn't think it was that that crazy, considering that guys like Terry Rozier get $19.5 million for 3 years from the Charlotte Hornets. And Brown's a hell of a lot better player than him, but that's just the crazy money that's being thrown around in the NBA now. I think there's probably more potential with Brown than there is with Tatum right now. I've been more disappointed in Tatum of the two. And Brown was, you know, one of the guys that actually was one of the bright spots of last year's ugly year down the last couple of months of the season. Tatum, though, yeah, it's a good way to put it, Chris. He's looked the exact same the first couple of games as he did last year.
But, you know, here's what I'll say about Tatum. He did shoot the ball pretty well last night from three, which I thought they needed. And he did that in the first game, the Sixers game. He was 4 of 8. He was 4 of 7 last night. So they need that. I think that the challenge for Tatum is to become a more efficient scorer. We all know he can score. But if Jason Tatum becomes a volume scorer, a guy that has to take 20 shots to score 25 points, that doesn't help the Celtics. It's almost more helpful if he scores fewer points but is more efficient doing it. And that's my biggest question about the Celtics, and we're only 2 games into it. But what I haven't seen, and when I have seen it, well, let me back that up. I have seen it, but it's been really fleeting, is the offensive efficiency. And it's not just ball movement there. It's just efficiency. I don't feel like right now it's a particularly efficient offensive team. I feel like it's a lot of, here are the plays that Kemba does well. Oh, Tatum's going to do his thing. Okay, Jaylen Brown's on tonight. Oh, here's Gordon. He's driving to the hoop. I just don't feel like the efficiency is there. And they need Tatum to be a more efficient offensive player to reach their full potential.
Zach and Haverhill, you're next here on the Sports Hub Celtic Show. Hey, Zach.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Go ahead.
I was listening to Chris Forsberg, too, and I kind of agree with him talking about Robert Williams. I mean, I really would want to see more of him. I mean, offensively, I mean, we haven't really seen much of him except for, like, you know, he's good on those pick and rolls and the alley-oops and stuff, but he really hasn't shown me any, like, other offensive game, post-game, mid-range. Haven't really seen it. With that being said, I just want to know how you guys feel about having Hayward, Tatum, and Jaylen Brown on the floor at the same time. I mean, I would like to see Robert Williams start at that power forward position just because of the matchup, especially with Philly. I mean, you saw Jaylen Brown, he kind of got into trouble with that with his fouls, and you know, Marcus Smart had to come in, and then we just kind of got smaller. So I just wanted to know how you guys felt about, you know, having Robert Williams kind of, you know, maybe potentially in maybe midseason or deep in the playoffs if they make it, having Robert Williams kind of start that power forward position just to give that big man advantage in matchups like Philly. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matchup-to-matchup situation. I think I like Robert Williams. I've always liked it. It's weird, though, and like maybe B-Rob can speak more to this. You know, it's weird when you look at the numbers. Like last year, he was a rookie, you get lost. So he had the most sort of he was the most minus player on the team. And then even you look at last night, and I thought he was really good. But I look at it, and he's a -3, which was the worst on the team. So I don't know what it is. There's like something there that I am not a smart enough basketball mind to see, that like when he's on the court, that there's something getting lost in translation where he ends up being a minus player a lot.
Yeah, I think it's just the consistency right now with him on a defensive end, and that's, it gives up, you know, the free throws, just giving lanes on the pick and roll and things like that. And that's going to come with time, and that's just getting reps. And the question is that going to happen here? I mean, it kind of has to happen here. You're not going to send him to Maine, I think, this season. You need him up here. But is he going to get enough, comfortable enough to be consistent there?
Cam in Taunton with the thought of the day. Hey, Cam.
Hey, how's it going today, guys? My only frustration through these, I mean, look, Tatum is driving me crazy because it feels like he's taking those stupid mid-range jumpers. And it's just like, it just, dude, you're so much more talented. Just go to the basket, for crying out loud. My God. But Stevens is like, why do we need to keep looking at Brad Wanamaker? Like, can we give Carson Edwards some time, please? I mean, look, no disrespect to Brad Wanamaker, but the guy's, he's not part of your present or your future. Give Carson Edwards some minutes. Can we see what that guy can do?
And it felt like the rotation was at least tightened up a little bit more last night. A game against Philly, it's like, okay, do you need to play everybody? Like, that felt like
yeah,
it was a little,
I mean,
out of control.
Brad talked about that pregame, and I know B-Rob was there for that as well. He was asked that question, and basically he said that, like, his whole rotation sheet went out the window in the first 3 minutes of the Philly game due to foul trouble. But it was interesting last night. You know, I know Tice got hurt, and it was only 4 seconds, but Javonte Green came in. Brad played 11 guys in the first half, and this is one of the things, I think Forsberg called it the information gathering sort of phase of the season. But we've seen this in the past with the starts of seasons sometimes, where Brad needs to tighten up the rotation a little faster, you know, figure it out a little faster. Because I don't know. I mean, 11 guys, that's it's a weird. 11 guys and Carson Edwards wasn't one of them.
Celtics right back on the floor tonight, second of a back-to-back. What's next for the Seas? is next here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show.
1 hour each week at noon on Saturdays. The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports. Chris Casper, Jim Murray. The Sports Hub Celtics Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
26 seconds to play. Nets are down by one. Irving, step back three. Oh! Kyrie Irving buries it for the lead.
Oh, man. I'm eternally grateful to be here. Be back home in front of you guys with my teammates. On behalf of us. Oh, man, I'm sorry. It's just hitting me right now. I appreciate you guys, and I look forward to you guys supporting us all season. Let's go Nets.
Kyrie the con man. That was before the opener for Brooklyn that they lost to Minnesota. But last night, as you heard there, clock ticked down 21 seconds. Kyrie Irving sinks a go-ahead three-pointer, and the Nets, who were actually up by 19 at one point in last night's game, hang on to beat the New York Knicks 113-109. Sports Hub Celtics Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub. We won't be going over Kyrie night to night throughout each and every Sports Hub Celtics Show this season, I promise, because I can't deal with the guy. He's just he's a con man. He's a puke. He's the worst. But it's typically this segment is what's next for the Celtics, and the Knicks are what's next. So, you know, I had to play that there because the Nets end up beating them last night thanks to a-hole Kyrie. The Knicks 0-2 on the year. At home against the Celtics tonight with a 7:30 tip-off. Sean Grandy, Cedric Maxwell on the call here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, all that said, we do have to go back to this a-hole because that he did that again for the second straight year, Chris, that he just like he went into the Garden a little more than a year ago and gives the old spiel like, oh, you know, if you have me back, I plan on signing here. He did the same thing to the Nets. Now, I know he's a longer-term deal there with Brooklyn, but... Oh, just with the fake. Oh, I'm getting choked up here. Oh, I need a moment. Like, oh.
Blech. I had to send that to you immediately. I knew you would love it. I sent it right. I was like, this one's for you, Big Jim Murray.
And it's again, he's a con man. You weren't here, so I want to replay this for you because I think you'll get a kick out of it. I said it last week. You're old enough. The old Simpsons monorail thing, like he's Lyle Landley. He slithered into Springfield, suckers those rubes into thinking they need a monorail. This is what Kyrie Irving did. He grabbed the mic last year, and he did it at the Barclays Center this week. I've won games from Montclair, Duke, Cleveland, and by gum, I put them on the map. And now he's putting Brooklyn on the map as well. Well, fans, in Brooklyn, there's nothing like a genuine, bona fide, electrified, ring-winning point guard. Who's on the parquet? Kyrie. Who do you want to see ball? Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, I heard you kind of act like a bitch.
Check out my handle. It's like a glitch.
Is there a chance that you could leave?
Not on your life, you best believe.
You sure you're not a locker room cancer?
No, I'm just hitter when you're 18th banner.
Will you make sure you listen to Brad?
I'll treat him like he's my nerdy dad.
Yeah, is your knee going to be a recurring thing?
I'm just here to help you win some rings. Come on, green teamers, let's hear you sing.
Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving.
I heard him and Durant want to go to New York.
Too late, Jay Stu. They're already porked.
Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving.
Yeah, Kyrie.
And now he's Brooklyn's problem, and he's doing the same thing there. He's the worst.
That is brilliant.
Oh, thanks. I put a lot of work into it. That's why I felt like I needed to play it again.
That was phenomenal. I know people were getting on you this week for the Freddie Kitchens thing, which I thought was pretty good.
It was supposed to be bad.
I thought it was good. You
know, no, it wasn't supposed to be good.
No, but I'm saying, like, I know it's supposed to be bad, and that's what made it good.
Oh, well,
so I have to say, I think that monorail thing, I mean, other than Bane, that's the best thing you've done, and I would say that is the antithesis of the count.
Let's not go back to that one. Not many people remember it.
It's too bad. I know nothing about radio, which is good for you, but I am going to get one of the producers here to pull the count. We are going to pull that audio.
It was a dark day on this show and in my career. Fred, New Hampshire, last up here on the Sports Hub Celtics Show today. Hey, Fred.
Hello.
Hey,
Molly.
Hey, thanks for having me. I just wanted to state that I wish there was... I'm glad you have your show. It's strange that I am complaining about the Celtics not getting covered enough when you got a nice show going. Question for you. Two of them quickly is the Celtics now, you have to go to 105. I was wondering what the thinking was behind that business decision. And as far as marketing goes, do you know if people who are fans of the Celtics are fans of the Bruins and vice versa? I'll get off. I'm sorry for this background noise.
That's all right, Fred. I don't know what the 105. Oh, I know.
Yeah, you said the ROR.
That's where you can find tonight's game, actually.
Yeah, so,
the conflict.
Yeah, thank you for clearing that up, because the Bruins are playing against the Blues tonight. Yeah, so I'm not going to get into the machinations of the whole thing, but the Bruins have first right of refusal. They're always going to be here if there's a conflict between them and the Celtics.
It's a contractual thing.
Yeah, so there's
that's
that.
That's the deal.
Fans of the Celtics and Bruins? I don't know.
I think there's more crossover than people think.
Yeah. But
Felger always tries to paint it as an either-or thing.
But those that are either-or, boy, I know Bruins fans that hate the Celtics and vice
really?
Versa. Yeah, like it's really? Like they're dedicated basketball people. They hate hockey and vice versa. But I think there is more crossover.
I think there is.
And the first thing, again, not going to get into the whole like minutia of the whole thing, but I don't know. It's radio formatics. It's no different than, let's say, classic rock. The Patriots, if they were Led Zeppelin, the Patriots, Brady, all of that, that's Stairway to Heaven. Or like Black Dog. And that's why you're always going to, if you're listening to a classic rock station, you always hear those songs if you're a Zeppelin fan. And you say, well, why don't I hear Achilles' Last Stand? That's my favorite Zeppelin song. Sure, it's 8 minutes long, but I think that's the best Zeppelin song. How comes classic rock station doesn't play that more? That's the best of the Zeppelin songs. Well, if you want to hear it, like, pull it up on Spotify. That's just not how it works. You got to play the hits. The Patriots are the hits. That's why you hear more Pats than anything else. That's why you hear a lot of Patriots talk during the football season and even not in the football season. So thankfully, when you want to hear Celtics, you come here at noon or you listen at 98.5sportsup.com. If you miss the show every Saturday, we podcast it. So if you missed it today, go there or just download the app, okay? All right. Let's move on.
I have to say that other than the words Patriots and Celtics, I didn't understand a word of what you were talking about.
You don't even know Stairway, Black Dog, like the hits?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's a long way of me. It's like we're no different than any other format of radio. We play the hits.
Are you talking about that P. Diddy song? Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, hell, shame on you. God.
That song he came up with, is that right? He had those guys were his background.
No, that was Cashmere was the song that he ripped out for that. Yeah, that was the one from the Godzilla soundtrack.
I thought that was his original song.
No, those guys just played for that, his background band, wasn't it?
That's
not the case.
It wasn't?
Highly offensive to me. Sean Silver's going to get you caught up with the Sports Hub headlines here. There is no commercials. Then we will kick off the final hour of Gasper Murray next here on 98.5 of Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for a place to eat that has a little something for everyone? Come to Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus. The most mouth-watering dishes, such as their ribs, steak tips, seafood, and pizzas. Wash it down with their extensive martini list and large selection of draft beer. Route 1 Grillhouse has a private function room that accommodates up to 70 guests for any function. This is the spot for you and your friends as the weather gets warmer with their outdoor seating. Come on in to the family-owned Route 1 Grillhouse in Saugus, the perfect place to be.
Roto-Rooter. Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape.
And a wrench. And a towel. More duct tape. A hammer. This random tube I found in the basement. Another bucket. More tape. A little more tape.
Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.